Welcome back in, everyone, to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are excited to bring you a second interview with this wonderful show. Joining us today, we have the playwright Courtney Taylor, whose show No Entrance is being presented by the Neurodivergent New Play Series. It's happening March 17th at 2 p.m. at Spit and Vigor's Black Box Studio. Tickets and more information are available at spitinvigor.com. You may remember this show from an episode previously released with the director, Abby Davis, but we are so excited to be joined by the playwright to delve even more into this wonderful show. So with that, let us welcome on our guest, Courtney Taylor. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy we have another chance to visit this piece. It was such a great time last time to speak with Abby, and now we have you, so I can totally pick your brain even more. So why don't we begin first by reminding our listeners a bit about your show? Can you tell us what it's about?
Absolutely. So No Entrance is an experimental comedy about sex, gender, and trauma with a focus on queer and trans characters. The play follows Charlotte, who's a recent college graduate who's been diagnosed with vaginismus, which is a condition that makes penetration difficult. She ends up crossing paths with Victoria, a trans inventor from her past who runs a DIY lab out of her garage with her two sidekicks, Helen and Curly, and a kind of off the rails, chaotic self-discovery journey ensues, riffing on No Exit, Frankenstein, Rocky Horror Picture Show in a, you know, surreal and funky play with a lot of humor and heart.
That is fantastic. Wow. So I do want to ask, where did you get the inspiration for this piece?
So I was working on a play in 2015 called Vocal Strain, and I loved the characters, but the play was just not working. So I shelved it, but still was kind of fixated on the characters that would become Charlotte and Victoria. In 2018, I had this vivid dream about a garage lab run by these three girls, and then was so excited to start this play, bringing back those old characters. For a while, it was called No Entrance Machine, off of the play The Hamlet Machine. And then in 2021, I totally revamped the script, kind of as like a writing exercise, trying to turn off the like editor in my brain and just following like every whim on the page, which is how we get the songs and the dreams and the trials that happen. And then the thing that really changed the play and made it what it is today is that in 2021, while I was in grad school, I had experienced sexual violence and harassment, and then kind of poured everything into this play, which had already had a lot of subtext about sexual violence, but it became a kind of thing where the play was the thing demanding more honesty and digging deeper. And that kind of made it into the still very funny and whimsical, but also very tender and raw version that it is today.
Holy cow. Wow. What a journey for that. That's incredible. I mean, not incredible of what you had to go through. That's definitely awful. But the whole through line, that's a really impressive through line. So as you prepare for the reading of this play to get up on its feet, right now, at the time of recording, we are about 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks away. What has it been like developing the piece?
It's been really exciting, and it's also really, I think, built a clearer sense of like what I want to do as a playwright. This piece is super collagey and campy, very like referential, but it's also like off the rails and like grounded in like an emotional reality. And working on this play has kind of clarified to be the type of plays I want to work on just in general, digging into things that are like so weird, so offbeat, so like explosive. And then, of course, adding in like a song and dance and like funky, strange references. There's a scene where they like do Succession for a moment there. And so the fun of developing it has really clarified things for me as a playwright.
That's wonderful. Literally the definition of play right there. Oh yes. My gosh, that's so fun. Well, you keep mentioning the word collage, which I adore. And so with so many thoughts or themes happening, is there a message or thought you're hoping the audiences will take away from No Entrance?
There are, I guess, kind of two layers to that. The first thing I would want them to take away relates to this idea called chrononormativity. I went to grad school, so I have to be insufferable forever because I did it in English literature. But chrononormativity is this idea that, like, there is one specific normative timeline that your life should take, that it's, having sex at a certain age with a certain amount of partners, college, a job, promotion at the job, marriage, kids, et cetera, and in like a queer theory context, chrononormativity is this thing that when we look at queer and trans models of time, we can, reach these milestones in different orders, reject them entirely, have different milestones. And the play is really invested in that, of people feeling like they are behind or they're not in the place that they're supposed to be in their lives. And so the first thing I want folks to take away is a sense of, I guess, like self-compassion and grace towards themselves about wherever they might be in their life, trying to kind of deconstruct this idea of what really is like a cis hetero patriarchy white supremacy idea of like, and capitalist idea of like, this is how time works. And instead just kind of realize that like they're in their own time. So that's the first takeaway. The second is the play's focus on community as a place for salvation and growth. One of the questions in the play is like, how do we find connection, friendship, romantic intimacy in a world that is dangerous and oppressive? And in No Entrance, the response is, by investing in, and not investing, I mean, that's such a ugly word, but like, connecting with communities and finding salvation there and working together for collective change and liberation, which I think is especially important in this moment, thinking about the fight for Palestinian liberation. And so I hope that folks come away with a sense of the importance of community, as well as that like acceptance piece about their life and times and the kind of timelines that we do want to be on and working towards all together.
That is all phenomenal. I love that. One thing I've loved about talking about this show between both you and Abby is how much I have learned. That you've just given me a $100 word, which I love. But no, that is a fascinating message. So kudos to you. For my final question in this first part of the interview, I would love to know, who do you hope have access to this reading?
I'm really excited for neurodivergent audiences and for queer and trans audiences. And I'm saying this as if these are like separate categories, but of course, like all of the overlap and exciting folks coming on in. I really hope that folks will kind of find connections to themselves in this play, maybe thinking about people in their community. And I hope they, yeah, come away with a bigger sense of themselves and the community and kind of what do we do next? There's the Leslie Feinberg quote that I love from The Amazing Stonebridge Blues, imagine a world worth fighting for. And so I hope that neurodivergent and queer and trans audiences access the play and enjoy engaging with it.
For the second part of our interview, we love giving our audiences a chance to get to know our guest a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I'm very intrigued to learn more about you. And I want to start with our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Totally. So my number one favorite play that I really am inspired by and I'm always kind of thinking back to and revisiting is Our Dear Dead Drug Lord by Alexis Scheer. Such an amazing piece. I also love Seven Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner by Jasmine Lee Jones. If it's not being performed by you, connect with your local theater things and get it performed by you. Order the script. It is incredible. So innovative, so exciting. And then another favorite play of mine that I read pretty recently was I, Joan by Charlie Josephine, which is a reimagining of the Joan of Arc story, Joan of Arc as a non-binary protagonist in conversation with their time and our time. So those three plays are so exciting and inspiring to me and help me kind of think about like what I want to write. Other folks that I really love their work and I'm so inspired by are Jeremy O'Harris and in the I guess New York theater scene, thinking about Sophie McIntosh, Matt Morse, MD Schaefer. I'm just there are so many phenomenal writers out there that I'm just so excited to read and meet everyone.
What a phenomenal list right there. That's incredible. I need to find some of these authors. I need to find some of these shows. Well, I know you've been busy with this piece, getting it ready and whatnot, but have you seen any theater lately that you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
So I haven't seen a ton of theater lately. I saw Hadestown the other night, revisited it with my cousin for her birthday. Always amazing. I do have two theater tickets coming up that I'm super excited about to give a little shout out. I'm seeing, and I'm so excited for Scout Davis's piece, Witch and the dot dot dot. It's part of Here Arts Center's series called Witches, Queers, and Clowns. Amazing title. And I'm so excited to see that piece later in March. Also, so pumped to see Riley Elton McCarthy's Edgar Allan Shitpost at the Tank. Just so I love their work, and that title alone has me just so hooked. So I'd recommend folks look into those shows.
Amazing. I'm literally writing these down because I want to know more about it. These sound amazing. I'd love to shift things back to you a little bit more now, and I want to know what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I love the like magical unruliness of it, that when you're in a live show or if you're listening to even like a pre-recorded piece or whatever, anything can really happen. I love that the audience co-creates the piece, that they also play a role in what the show is going to be, how it's going to work, and just that feeling that like we're all together in one special moment, having this kind of like magic unfolding.
That is tremendous. That is so wonderful. What a great answer. And it's a great lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Yes, I feel like the TikTok sound that's like, I love this question. The theater memory, which was such a blast, but also really got me into like very quote unquote like weird theater, was when I was a junior in college. I was in this show called Android Schizoid, a postmodern rendition of Macbeth, conceived by my friend Alex Eustace. I was playing Lady Macbeth. And the idea was that the play, including like the rehearsal process, was decentralized. So the thing we would say is everyone's the director. And you have full freedom on the stage. There's no obligation to do the play the same way you've done it before in rehearsal and performance. And it was just so fun to just like go wild, do this like super weird show, and have the audience be like, oh my God, what's going on here? Because before that, I had done like the Golden Age musical at the high school and stuff like that. So getting to do something so chaotic and exciting was just amazing. Highly, highly recommend folks go wild on stage.
I love that. That sounds, one, like such a fun time, but two, like such an amazing show. How incredible is that? Thank you for that,
I
Miss Bridge. That
obsessed.
was so wonderful. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I do. Abby Davis and I, who's directing No Entrance, have some stuff cooking up. Abby is just absolutely amazing, and I just want to sing her praises all the time. So there's a play that I wrote called The Guy Who Killed Bigfoot, directed by Abby. It'll be presented as a reading at the Makers Ensemble on March 14th as part of their Intimate Artist Night series. And then it will be presented as a full production as part of Fresh Fruit Festival on April 26th and 28th.
Hooray, that is amazing. I'm so excited for you. So it sounds like you've got some things we need to keep tabs on to stay tuned for. And that's a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about No Entrance or about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So I'm on Instagram at Courtney C. Taylor underscore. I'm also on New Play Exchange. I'm also always looking for new plays to read. So please reach out in any capacity, other playwrights on New Play Exchange or what have you. And yeah, I'm on Instagram all of the time. So you will see all of my theater information there.
But wonderful. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I am so excited for this work. I know this is not the last we'll see of it. I know that we're going to continue to see more and more about this work, and I can't wait to see bigger and bigger productions of it. But I really appreciate you taking the time to stop by and speak with us and share everything that you have. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I've had such a blast chatting today.
Thank you. My guest today has been the playwright Courtney Taylor, whose work No Entrance is being presented by the NeuroDivergent New Play Series. This is happening March 17th at 2 p.m. at Spit and Vigor's Black Box Studio. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting spitinvigor.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our social media post as well as on our episode description. But you are not going to want to miss this reading. This play is incredible. Join us as we get in the ground level of this play because it's going to be huge. The play again is No Entrance, and it's having a reading March 17th at 2 p.m. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.